You people are horrible.
Hey guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, a true crime podcast. For 1 week we talk about a heist, the next we talk about a slice. And this week, we're going to talk about a slice.
You would get the door shut.
Hi, I'm Nora. And I'm Shelby.
And well, it's going to be an interesting one.
It's a slice of Roni.
And we had pepperonis tonight.
Did we?
Oh, and pizza. And some kind of lemon cake. It kind of tastes like sausage.
Ew, why are you like this?
It did taste.
You're up, buttercup.
Okay, so I figured we could go off of my last slice and go with
Otis. The wheelchair dude?
No, wheelchair dude. Yes, his dad was in a wheelchair, slung himself with this, no one died. That was Henry Lee Lucas. We're going to talk about his supposed partner.
Oh!
Otis. They call him Otis, but I would say Otis, but Otis Tool.
Tool.
Okay, so Tool was born March 5th, 1947. So we're...
1947?
Yeah, we're not like in the 80s. Gosh!
I don't know where that came from.
We're talking about doing our podcast in accents, but we are terrible with those.
Yes.
Shelby's got this beautiful Irish accent that I absolutely love. It's great.
Yeah.
And Russian.
No.
He was born in Jacksonville. No. Just no. He was born in Jacksonville, Florida. He grew up in a broken home. His father ran away when he was just a child. That's right. He ran away.
His father ran away? His
father ran away. It's said that Otis's mother was a massive religious person. And his grandmother was a Satanist.
Oh, what a lovely combination.
Right? From a young age, Tool's oldest sister would dress him as a girl and call him Becky, I believe, to play with him. His grandmother, on the other hand, allegedly.
Fucked an ostrich.
No!
Gosh. Allegedly.
If you don't get that reference, I don't know if we can be friends. Anyway.
It's okay, we're not.
You get the reference, you said it. We are friends, meanie. Oh, his grandmother would allegedly involve him in her occult practices, including robbing graves for body parts and self-mutilation. She would also make him take parts in fiendish rituals. What are you laughing at my hair? I look like...
Wilbur.
Oh, I thought you were going to laugh about my hair. I kind of feel like I look like Felicia from Friday.
Sure.
I do. Anyway. His grandmother dubbed him the devil's child. As a young child, he was a victim of incest at the hands of many relatives, including his older sister and the next-door neighbor.
I don't like your podcast. It's so dark.
Well, it gets darker.
Mine's about sex on the moon. Yours is about incest.
This one really pulled my heartstrings, so this one's a little rough for me. Like, it took me a while to do this research. Like, my poor empathetic heart was just like, stop.
Well, you started the research yesterday.
No, I mean, I started a while ago. I also have somebody else, also had somebody else picked out for tonight, but he's one of my favorites to research. Yes, people say favorite serial killers. This guy is sadistic, and I'm not a big fan. But Otis was tested and found to be FMD'd with an IQ of 75. But it could have been his grade on the IQ test could have been better if there was more developed tests for ADHD and dyslexia. Anyway, he also suffered from epilepsy, which resulted in frequent grand mal seizures.
What does that mean?
Like really bad seizures?
Oh, I thought you said grandma.
No. Throughout his childhood, he would run away several times, often sleeping in abandoned homes. He claimed at the age of 14, he started his career in crime as an arsonist. He claimed he was sexually aroused by the fire.
Little firebug.
He was. In a documentary, Tool claims that at the age of 5, he was also forced to have sexual relations with his father's friend. He says this is when he knew or claimed that he was actually gay. He kind of came forward when he was 10, and his first relationship was at the age of 12 with a boy.
Damn.
Tool dropped out in the ninth grade and started going to bars. He became a male prostitute or sex worker at the age of 14. At the same age, Tool was propositioned for sex by a traveling salesman, where Tool claims he ran the man over with his own car and killed him. This is not true. This is not like, this hasn't been verified. It's, you know, hearsay. It's what he said. It's what he claimed, but it was never verified.
Okay.
Okay. So Tool was first arrested in August of 1964 for loitering. Much is unknown of Tool between 1966 and 1973. So basically, he probably was just doing odd crimes and working. It's believed that he actually began heading to the Southwest, working as a sex worker and panhandling. Tool, while living in Nebraska, was the prime suspect of a woman's murder in 1974.
74.
He then moved to Boulder, Colorado, 1 month later. He became the suspect of another woman's case, who was murdered on October 14th of 1974. He left Boulder and went right back to Jacksonville. Like it never even happened.
Florida.
He hitchhiked all the way back, by the way.
Never pick up hitchhikers.
Never. Especially him. On January 14th of 1976, he married a woman who was 25 years old, his senior.
Shit.
She left him in just 3 days after discovering he was gay. I told you, there's going to be stuff in here that you liked. In 1976, Tool met Henry Lee Lucas. So he's not her little guy. She just sat on her own finger, if anybody's wondering what happened just now.
I just smashed it. Damn it. Continue. I'm over it.
I'm sorry. This one is a little dark, so
yeah.
Just be prepared. So in 1976, Tool met Henry Lee Lucas, which is our guy from last slice.
Wheelchair dad. Face down in the snow if you haven't listened to it.
That's what the podcast is called. What was that?
Episode 12. Face down in the snow.
He met him at a Jacksonville soup kitchen, and they soon developed a sexual relationship.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Ow, ow. Now, Tool and Lucas both claimed of going on a cross-country killing spree, and they speculate that they killed 108 people, but we'll get there.
That's more than the IQ.
It was more than both their IQs, actually. But
together?
Yeah. Well, I want to say that they said that, or the last podcast we had, I said his IQ was like a 80, maybe.
I can't remember.
80 plus 75. They were both.
Is a lot.
No, I was saying together.
You did say together.
Well, I didn't mean to say together. I meant like it was more than both of their IQs. Anyway, so they were hitchhiking, prostituting.
Okay.
Let me start over. They were hitchhiking.
They were hitchhiking while prostituting and murdering at the same time.
Thank you. In 1978, Tool and Lucas moved in with Tool's mother and sister in Jacksonville.
Florida.
Both men went to work for a roofing company, but were fired for always calling in and going back on the road. On the road again.
They just couldn't wait to get back on that road again. Lassie?
Oh, no. Well, it's just a taste of the accents that Shelby does.
Ah, oh, foot!
Oh, you gotta cut that out.
I had it first.
During this time, Lucas was falling in love with Tool's 10-year-old cousin, Becky Powell. Do you remember her?
She did.
She's the one he killed. Of whom he adopted, I did not know that, and ended up living as husband and wife with her. In April of 1983, Tool was arrested on an arson charge in Jacksonville, Florida. Lucas was also arrested on a mass murder charge.
Shit.
Lucas then told officers that Tool aided in his spree of killings. By October 1983, police were sure the man had killed at least 69 people. By March 1985, they suspected the two killed over 200 people.
Jesus!
So let's talk about his crimes.
Do we have to?
We have to. That don't go into a lot of detail, and I also don't say, like, the victim's last names, just because I feel like that's... Like, if it were my family member, I wouldn't want people to talk about my family member, especially if it was such a heinous crime. So I only say the first name. You can look it up if you want. If you don't, don't. So, on January 12th, 1982, Otis locked 64-year-old George in his own home and set the house ablaze, killing him. Tool was convicted and sentenced to life. Later that year, he was found guilty of a February 1983 murder of a 19-year-old woman named Ada and received a second death sentence. In 1984, he confessed to an unsolved murder. He admitted to killing 19-year-old David, a hitchhiker he picked up east of Pensacola, Florida.
Why you don't hitchhike?
David's body was found February 6, 1980. He had been shot 5 times in the left side of his head.
Jesus.
Otis also claimed he has murdered several more people with Henry Lou Lucas, but recanted his story, claiming he only said so to get better living conditions in jail.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they also, if you remember back to Face Down in the Snow, Henry Lucas was saying that he killed all these people, but then
they couldn't prove it. Yeah, because he liked the attention.
Right. He liked the attention, but he also, I think he honestly killed people, and he probably was a serial killer, but what are you doing?
Honey.
I don't even know where I was going now. Oh, okay. I see what you're doing. When Otis was arrested in April of 83, he confessed to a very well-known case or high-profile case.
Oh, you talked about this.
Right. We will talk about this person in depth because it is a high-profile case. It's very well-known. So he confessed to Adam Welsh's death, the son of John, and I think this is Reva Welsh, maybe? Was abducted on July 27th of 1981 when he was 6 years old. The reason why Adam's case was so terrifying to the nation is at this time, kids just didn't go missing like this from their parents, you know.
I feel like they did.
They did, but it was
the first time from a high-profile person.
Right,
so then people cared.
Well, and then it also said that, like the article that I read, it also said the reason why it was such a high-profile case is because it could have just happened to anybody.
And it probably has, but they didn't get national attention.
Yeah. Police and volunteers searched the area and never could find Adam. 2 weeks later, the young boys, it's going to get a little rough.
Yeah, no, I know this story.
2 weeks later, the young boy's severed head was found, but his body was never recovered. Otis claimed he kidnapped Adam from the same department store that he had actually been missing from, which was never released to the public at the time. Also, he disclosed the same injuries that the boy suffered from. We won't go there. But I just don't like talking about his head being severed. It just really bothers me. So, also, he described all the injuries to the boy. So the police were like, okay, he had to be the person. Police found blood in Tool's vehicle, but because DNA testing was not as up to par as it is now, they could not determine the DNA as a match. Tool, of whom was very cruel and sadistic, offered to the Welsh family to lead them to their son's body for compensation. The offer was declined. Because of negligence from the local police, who ultimately lost the physical evidence, could not actually pin him as the murderer. So Tool would go without ever being convicted for this heinous crime. Tool then recants his statement and states he did not kill Adam, but Henry Lee Lucas stated he knew for a fact that Adam was killed by Otis. So Henry Lee Lucas actually opened the door a little bit, shed some light on Adam's case. And then it said that Adam's father, John, always thought that Tool had something to do with it.
Yeah.
So, Adam's case became worldwide. His father, John Welsh, never gave up on Adam's case and even started America's Most Wanted, America Fights Back in 1988. He became a crusader for victim rights. He funded the Adam Welsh Child Resource Center and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Kids. The case also inspired the Adam Welsh Children Protection and Safety Act of 2006, which established a more thorough, accessible nationwide
Database.
Did I miss database?
Yeah. A more accessible nationwide database of convicted sex offenders.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It also increased penalties for crimes against children, created the National Child Abuse Registry. The Adam Welsh Reauthorized Act of 2016 continued to fund these efforts, and October 7, 2016 was enacted with several similar bills through the Large Survivors Bill of Rights Act of 2016. That's a mouthful. So basically, Adam Welsh's father, John, did a bunch of stuff because he didn't want other parents to go through what he went through.
Right.
Which is very sad. This case really bothers me a little bit. A lot of it. But anyway. Tool was convicted on two life sentences, but was reduced to life in prison on an appeal. He confessed in prison to four more murders and was handed four more life terms. In 1991, while on trial, experts argued that Tool suffered from paranoid schizophrenia while serving his sentences. That's what got him reduced.
Jesus.
He still had four life terms, so he was never going to getting out. And I don't know how I feel about the death penalty, but I also don't know how I feel about them just sitting in jail and getting free food, and you know what I'm saying?
Someone is blowing up your phone.
It's unknown. It's probably a bill collector.
Into the unknown.
Into the unknown. Okay.
Maybe it's my future lover. Should I answer it?
Yes.
Hello?
But will you answer only singing Careless Whispers by Wham?
Carelessly whisper into my heart. I don't know the song.
Okay. A little known fact, or unknown fact, Tool actually briefly stayed adjacent to serial killer Ted Bundy while he was in jail, which is, you know, for killer buffs, they would probably like that. I don't know. On September 15th, 1996, Otis died of liver failure. He was 49 years old. He was buried in the prison cemetery as no one claimed his body, which we learned however long ago, two podcasts ago. 27 years later, gotcha. After Adam's death in 2008, like I'm not looking good, in 2008, authorities officially named Otis Tool as the murderer of Adam Welsh. Hollywood, Florida Police Sheriff Chad Wagner said that Tool had been the prime suspect in the case all along. He admitted that Tool could have been convicted during the original investigation. Wagner also apologized to the Welsh family for mishandling the case. Public critics of the indictment argued that lack of new public evidence and the inability of the defendant to be able to defend himself of the allegations leaves no definitive claim to his guilt. However, by re-examining previously uncorralled, maybe, I can't read my own handwriting, evidence, police and the Welsh family are satisfied with the report and the existing evidence that points to only Otis. The decision was finally reached once Toll's niece told John Welsh that her uncle confessed on his deathbed in prison that he murdered and decapitated Adam Welsh.
Jeez, that was dark.
Yeah, that's why I feel like our podcast probably isn't very, talkative tonight. It is, I don't know, it's not very, this story is not one that I feel like I can be laughing as much as I usually do in our podcast. This one really got me. As a mother, it really got me. Really touched me.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Why did we do a podcast about serial killers?
Because I find their psyche so intriguing. Not what they do, because that's crazy. Like, serial killers are nothing to idolize. I would rather bring awareness to them than anything. But there are those people that do idolize them. People buy their... Do you know that there's a website that people actually buy,
you know,
like,
the less I know, the better.
Okay. Like, they make stuff in prison and people buy that shit.
No, thank you.
That's what happens.
It's what I should have
said. But you know what? In Florida, I learned this today on a Netflix show. There is a competition in Florida where people race bullfrogs.
You know that?
No. I knew you were going to know that. And they jump after them. And whoever has, like, the longest jump in three jumps wins, like, $7,000.
Bullfrogs are awesome.
Why the hell haven't we done that?
We don't live in Florida.
We can visit Florida.
Can we, though?
We can. Not right now.
I don't know if I have all my shots to go to Florida.
What? You don't have that? What?
People down there be crazy.
Well, Audistol was. Well, this was a dark one.
Florida be tripping.
And sometimes I feel like some of mine are going to get dark. This was a dark one.
I don't like them when they're dark.
This one hurt.
Next week won't be dark.
Good.
I'm going to try and find a good one. I haven't looked it up yet.
But we're going to try to find
we're going to find a good one.
I'm a diamond heist.
There's a lot of diamond and bank robbers, but I like the goofy ones. I like the goofy ones, stealing, too.
Like Cocaine Bear was great.
Oh, cocaine. Pablo Escobar. What was my last one? Oh, Fritz.
I feel like there's not very many serial killer episodes that we're going to do that's, like, super, like, Face Down in the Snow was just because of his father, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this one didn't have any laughing moments, really, other than us having our conversation back and forth. This one was rough. This is why America's Most Wanted was always the scariest thing that ever came on TV for me.
Also, you guys probably noticed, we're not professionals. We just do this for fun.
Right. I didn't know there was such a thing as a professional podcaster, but if there is, then maybe we should take some notes.
I mean, well, we don't, like, I don't pronounce words if I don't, like, can't pronounce them.
We can't read our own handwriting sometimes.
We can't read our handwritings half the time. We stumble through it. We get sidetracked.
We got dogs and cats.
Dogs, cats.
Sometimes we cook supper.
Yeah.
And we like food.
We do.
Okay, guys. Well, that was our tale of Audistol. He was a sadistic asshole.
This is episode 14, Sadistic Asshole.
It's probably what's going to be named. Maybe not.
Well, I hate guys, naming them. Coming up too. With names. I hate that
this
part.
This one was a stumble. But I felt like it was just right to do him after we talked about him.
Yeah.
We might lead into a different one. Oh, we're thinking about doing like a hybrid. Like, 1 week we talk about Shelby's heist, and then it leads straight into my slice.
Yeah. I don't know what you think. We're going to leave that as a surprise, but I guess not.
Well, we can edit that out if you want to. I just thought we were going to ask if they want it or not.
Nobody tells us what they want, so I don't care what you guys want anymore, because you don't send me emails, so too bad.
You know what you just reminded me of? The cockroach off of Fairly Odd Parents. It's like, world domination.
That's, you know, exactly my what mind went to the is it Mr. Butthead from
Rocko's Modern?
That's exactly where my mind is. It Butthead?
Yeah, Mr. Butthead.
Mr. Butthead. Toads, yes,
that's, and she talks like this.
That's the mom or the missus. That's, I was the missus. Thinking of
what is his name?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Man, but kids ain't gonna know what good cartoons are these days.
No. Sucks.
All right, well, we digress.
Later, Gator.
After all, crocodile.